Over the last 2 weeks, we've been searching the scriptures to consider and look at how we handle the grievous events that are going to come into our lives. We looked at Job last week. We looked at David last week. We considered very carefully the responses that they had, and those are the responses that we should be comparing our responses to. As Jesus pointed out in the Sermon on the Mount, if you are anxious for the morrow, you can't focus on today. And oftentimes we will miss an opportunity to preach the gospel to the lost, or we'll miss an opportunity to do the things that the Lord has asked us to do because we're so wound up and focused on a specific problem. And so as we noted in one of our first lessons, is that peace is the umpire. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. When you see your heart begin to gain a sense of stress, a sense of care, worry, anxiety, world's crushing down on us, we need to know how to take the peace of God, apply it to that situation. And of course, what are we looking for? Are we looking for complete comfort? And we're not always going to get that, but we will be able to take the next step. And so you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. So isn't it interesting that the very thing that brings our salvation, which is faith in God and faith in the ability of God to take care of our needs, is the very thing that will bring this perfect peace. He also tells us that it's a state of action. And that's what we want to talk about this evening. We want to talk about what are the proper steps. We get the phone call in the middle of the night. Been a terrible accident. Someone we love, is their life is in the balance. And of course, we're anxious. We feel a great sense of anxiety. Where do we go with that? And how do we get it under control? And so Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's a state of action. We have conditions that God wants us to pass through. When we do them, then we let our requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we read about the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in the perils that he was in the trials, in the difficulties, sometimes I look at that and I think to myself, I don't even know if I could get up and preach with all of that stress, with all of those concerns. And yet Paul was able to do it because the ability of this peace was able to counteract all of the things that were going on around him. And so there's a really important thing to be looking at here. So when we think about this, we see that it is a conditional promise. If you don't have the peace, don't look at the promise. Look at the conditions. When God makes a promise, it always comes to pass. But the conditions have to be met. And so first, we have to learn and understand the conditions. And I don't mean just from reading in the book. I mean that we have it in our heart. We know exactly what steps we're supposed to take. And then we have to fulfill those conditions. And then we receive the promise. So the conditions of peace are three. Number one, be anxious for nothing. Number two, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And number three, let your requests be made known to God. This is our part. And it sounds easy. And it is easy if it's a minor anxiety, but as the anxieties go up in stress, as the anxieties go up in the consequences if things don't go well, this passage becomes very difficult. But it needs to be done. It's part of the secret. This is the steps that Paul went through. Paul says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Now, that would be the question. Do we? I think most of us know how to abound. We know how to enjoy life when we have all that we need and everything going around us is comfortable and peaceful. But do we know how to be abased? When things get ripped away like Job, When problems arise, like David had to deal with Saul constantly trying to kill him, and with other factors that were going on in his life, they knew how to be abased. Jesus knew how to be abased. The apostles knew how to be abased. The question is, in our culture, where we have so much peace and so much tranquility and so many problems resolved, have we learned how to be abased? Everywhere and in all things, I have learned the secret, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Once again, it's one thing to read it in the scriptures. It is another thing to actually know how to accomplish it, to be able to take an anxiety and, just like the volume on your radio, you know how to turn it down until it's much more bearable. And that's what we need to learn. And so this again is how God keeps us in perfect peace. You see, it's not just something that comes on a silver platter. It is something that comes by us fulfilling the conditions. And fulfilling those conditions is the most critical part, because it's how God grants us peace. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. Now, there's a condition behind that. That's the promise. Both of these are the promise. You will keep them in perfect peace. The peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your heart. May the Lord of peace give you peace always in every way. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. So we take these three passages. We take the conditions of these three passages. And then we ask the question, do I have these promises? Do I understand what perfect peace is? Can I go through the valley of the shadow of death and not be afraid, because God is with us, because God is in fellowship with us? And this is often the most important thing that we need to ask ourselves, because if we're not fulfilling these conditions in the overall, because they're woven into the overall fabric of what it is to be a Christian. And so this is a part of our Christian growth and our Christian development. So he says that we should not be anxious. The Greek would read this just a little bit differently because of the nuances in their language. He would read, in nothing be continuously anxious. God is not forbidding, nor does he want us to not feel anxiety. When something bad happens, that's the natural response, and that's the motivation. If I get a phone call, so-and-so is sick and may die, and I say, oh, okay, I'm going back to sleep. Well, then I'm not going to be able to pray. I'm not going to be able to do the things that are necessary. We need to feel that initial sense of anxiety. However, we can't let it continue. What we do is we, first of all, figure out what we can do. We have to do our part first. We have to be the ones to do everything humanly possible. And when we've done everything humanly possible, and it still isn't resolved, and can't be resolved without God, then we bring our request to God. So, learning how to take my anxiety and cast or give it to God. To be able to take a fear, a grief, a disappointment, a possible problem or issue, something that has got us wound up and tied up in knots, and God says, or Peter says, you can cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So if we can't do that yet, if we don't have the perfect peace, if the peace is not the umpire, if we cannot cast our anxieties on the Lord, then this is where we need to look. It's not a problem with the promise. God keeps his promises. It's impossible for God to lie. If God says something will happen, if you do something, then it will happen. And if it doesn't happen, then we start digging a little deeper. What are the conditions? Something is not right here. Something needs to be assessed. Now, why can't we do it? Well, it may be because we don't have the wisdom yet. When James was talking about various trials, he makes the point, count it all joy when you fall into manifold or various trials. Now, every trial brings anxiety. Job's trials brought anxiety. So did David's. So do ours. But if we can learn to count it all joy. Now, this is something you have to teach athletes. And they finally came up with a proverb, which is, no pain, no gain. Athletes understand that I've got to be in pain when I'm working out. I've got to push my body past the comfort level, or I'm never going to get any better. And so God here is saying that when you fall into various trials, you can know that the testing of your faith is going to produce patience. So just like the athlete knows that today's workout is going to be miserable and difficult, but it's going to produce more endurance. Same word as this. Christians know that when they go through something that is going to bring anxiety, the fruits of that are patience. And so patience is the ability to endure. That's what the word means. It's literally the word to be able to remain under or to stand up under something. And what many people would quit, but the professional athlete knows how to push past the pain. And when Satan said to God, does he serve you for nothing? If you take away what he has, he will curse you. God knew he had the endurance. So God said, that won't happen. And he proved it wouldn't happen. Job proves that we can do this. Now the question is, can we do it yet? So let patience have its perfect work. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, here's another conditional promise. I don't have the wisdom to know how to cast my anxieties on God. I don't have the wisdom to know how to trust him so fully that I have perfect peace. I don't have the wisdom to know how to cast my anxieties on him. If any of you lacks wisdom, let your request be made known to God. Let your request, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I hope we're starting to see that all of this is tied to one central point, and that is our faith in God and in God's desire to help us and in the promises of God. And so there's two steps for wisdom. Learn all the facts in the scripture and trust them. I trust God that the peace of God can pass all understanding and guard my heart. Now, maybe I haven't felt it yet, but I know he can. And so I'm going to begin the process of getting that because I know it can happen because I don't waver back and forth. I know what God can do. So I learn that the peace of God can guard my heart, that I can be kept in perfect peace, that the Lord of peace will keep us in peace, that Jesus said, my peace I give to you. So ask for the wisdom to know how to do it. How much of our prayers are we doing that? I mean, if we're in a rut, if we seem to be like the hamster, just running and running and running and never getting anywhere, we never seem to be getting any closer, then there's two steps. First, we learn all the scriptures. Then we start asking for the wisdom to learn how to do it. So if we don't have the wisdom, then again, we go back to the conditions. Condition number one, learn the verses. Memorize the verses. Apply the verses. And the passages, I'm going to just throw all these up. The passages are clear. My peace I leave with you. That's the literal idea of this is what I bequeath to you. This is what I'm going to give you as a result of my death. And so peace I bequeath to you. My peace I give to you. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. His name will be called Prince of Peace. And he will guide our feet into the way of peace. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Come to me and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. The kingdom of God is peace. The Lord of peace give you peace always in every way. And then the key passages that we've been looking at, let the peace of God rule or be an umpire in your heart. You will keep him in perfect peace because he trusts you, and cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So the passages themselves, the promises are clear. There's no doubt that you can have this peace. And if we haven't found it yet, then there's a simple reason. It's not the promises. It's the person. Person hasn't yet fulfilled the conditions. So the first condition is to learn all of the scriptures and understand exactly what can happen and how we can make it happen, and then ask God for the wisdom to begin to do that. So it's a simple step, but it's just like becoming a Christian. You have to hear. And that hearing has to develop faith. And that faith has to lead to a discomfort over the kind of person we are that creates confession. And it also leads to an understanding of how great Jesus is, which leads to the confession of our faith. So we hear, brings hearing, brings faith. Faith brings repentance and confession. And then, of course, the water of baptism. And then we have salvation. Well, same thing works in this particular realm. So trust is the foundation of this wisdom. You have to trust God. You can't cast it on him if you don't think he can do anything about it. You can't give it to him and then say, well, wait a minute, I don't know if you can do it, so I'm going to take it back. I want to do a little bit more. I want to do a little more worrying. I want to do a little more anxiety. I want to go through because I don't know if I can trust you to take care of it, so I want to take it back. But the true Christian says, I've done everything I can do. They're in the hospital. They're under the doctor's care. They're going to surgery. I can't do anything. I'm completely helpless. At that moment, I say, Lord, it's in your hands. I trust you. You will keep him in perfect peace because he trusts you. This is a trust issue. All things work together for good to those who love God. And that's what it's all about. And Job knew that. When he lost his possessions, his children, he said, the Lord gave, the Lord took away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I know it's going to work together for good, and it did. Because he knew it would work together for good, because he trusted in God, he was able to do that. Now, that's the issue for us. And that's why the Hebrew writer says that we are not of those who shrink back. We are of those who trust in the Lord and gain that patience. Or as the proverb has said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Your faith is not yet even of a grain of mustard seed. So we also trust God's intent to protect, to resolve. And so if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do we believe that? Do we believe that a God who cared so much about us that he would send the Word who was with him in the beginning and helped him create the heavens and the earth and to send him to come down to this earth, take on a human body, suffer and die? If he's done that, what less thing would he not give us? He who did not spare his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, I would call this the foundation. I would call this the undergirding. If we don't believe these two things, then the conditions of gaining the peace of God are not being met. Because we can't even begin to let our requests be made known to God if we don't have the confidence here. Again, as Isaiah said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose heart is stayed on you because he trusts you. I gave it to God. And I trust God. Whatever outcome comes now, I'm going to know that it works for good. I may not get what I want. Jesus begged God in the garden to let this cup pass for him. He didn't get that. Jesus made peace with that, and we don't see any more anxiety. We see determination. We see determination before the Jewish council. We see determination before Pilate, before Herod, back to Pilate. We see that determination on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The anxiety was gone because he put his life in the hands of God. And that's what we have to do. That's what's going to bring perfect peace because of trust. And I just can't overemphasize it. I've worked on this for years, and this was the hardest thing. Once this is accepted, once we understand that we're not going to get what we want in life, there's going to be ups and downs, things are going to be taken from us, our health, we're going to lose our health, we're going to lose some of our family members, we're going to have financial problems, we're going to have problems with our children, problems with our friends and neighbors, bad things are going to happen. But once you reach this point, Romans 8:28, where you know that no matter what happens. Now, does this verse mean God wants that? No, he doesn't want that. But what it means is that God knows how to take anything that happens to me, and he's already woven it into the gospel, and turn out ultimately for our eternal salvation. And sometimes that's what gets us through. But if we don't have this, we don't know how to cast it on God because we don't have the undergirding. We don't have the confidence that we can. And that even if the outcome is not what we wanted, we still trust in the Lord that all things work together for good to those who love God. Sometimes this is a bitter thing. You know, maybe one of the hardest ones is when someone we love is not a Christian and we're begging and pleading and asking God, please spare his life. Please give me another chance to talk to him. Please, Father, I want to help. I want to do something. And then the man dies or the woman dies. Now what? Well, my conviction is that God knows there's nothing I can do. I mean, that's my confidence. I believe that if God knew I could do this, he'd spare him. God can do anything he wants to do. And I think that's the difference in the Old Testament. Why did Nadab and Abihu, why were they put to death? And Moses was simply rebuked and told, you can't go into the promised land. Well, there was a difference. God knew Moses was going to repent. And evidently, God knew Nadab and Abihu were not going to repent. Now, you say, where do you get this from? Well, I get this from Romans chapter 8 and 9, where Paul tells us that God knows vessels of wrath and he knows vessels of mercy. And he deals one way with vessels of wrath, and he deals another way with vessels of mercy. So my confidence in God is that he wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, if this happens, I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to look at God and say, you failed me. I'm going to say in my heart, you knew best. And I'll wait till the judgment day to find out exactly what happened. But the confidence in God that it's going to work out, even if it's not what I want, I still trust God that he did the best that could be done under the circumstances that free will of man give him. If he could just get in there and mess with free will, we'd see a world that ran with a lot more peace and comfort, and things would work out. It's the problems with men's will that create so many of these things. So, when we know the secret, when we know how to let our requests be made known to God, I really like this verse. I found it in my Bible reading. I'd never seen it before, but I was dealing with this sermon and I came on this verse. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say, my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. The peace of God which passes understanding is hidden in this verse. The peace of God which passes all understanding is found in the multitude of my anxieties within me. Your comforts delight my soul. Well, we've already looked at those comforts. All things that work together for good to those that love God. That God will never allow us to be tempted above what we're able. That God has our welfare at heart, and he has the welfare of our children. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of this truth far more than we do. And he loves far more than we do. So when things happen that don't quite fit our understanding, we just have to fall back on God is a loving, merciful, compassionate God. And the problems that we're facing right now are because of the foolish decisions of men and women with free will. And so I'm completely comforted. I know God is doing the absolute best that he can to save as many as possible. And I think one of the greatest anxieties as we grow, as we go through life, financial problems and other problems are really, they just kind of settle in because they don't matter. And we finally realize that. But the one thing that can never really settle in is the loss of people's souls. And when we're dealing with that anxiety and we're praying to God and begging God, I've done it, you've done it, we beg God that more time, please give them more time. Well, God says, even if I gave them an eternity, they would not change their mind. So I'm comforted in that. Just like David, he was fasting, he was praying, he was anxious for that child. He was begging and pleading, and then the child died. What does David do? He washes his face and he says, bring me something to eat. And the servants are shocked. But David knows, he understands, I will go to him. There's nothing lost here. I lost the company of my child, but my child's soul is safe in God's hands and I will go to him. The comforts right here, the multitude of anxieties, your comforts delight my soul. So while one group of men are going to fall into depression and gloom and woe is me, but the other people of men, or the other side of mankind, especially Christians, your comforts delight my soul. Well, when do they delight my soul? In the multitude of my anxieties. Well, didn't Paul deal with that? In nothing be continuously anxious. That's what he's saying here. These other people were, that's why they settled into silence. Because unless the Lord had been our help, there wouldn't be a solution. And oftentimes, that's the end of joy in life. But for the Christian, that can never happen. Just like if one of the people we love, who's a Christian, dies, Paul says, you don't have to sorrow like everyone else. You don't have to sorrow like those who have no hope. And this man didn't have to handle the multitude of his anxieties because your comforts delight my soul. Well, there's a second condition. In everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Now, this is an interesting concept here because basically what he's saying is that it needs to be brought to God in the context of our normal life of prayer. If you don't have a normal life of prayer, you don't pray, you don't intercede in behalf of others or in behalf of yourself, you don't give thanks to God, that's just not something you do. You're just bringing these anxieties and these anxieties. You're not fulfilling the conditions. The life of prayer brings us into fellowship with God. We've talked about this in the past. A conversation requires two people talking. God talked to us in his word. We talk to him in prayer. It is a conversation that we continually have with God. If we're not having that, and then an anxiety comes, and we say, oh Lord, please take this anxiety away from me, it's never going to happen. It's in the context of prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Anxiety isn't when we start praying. The foundation of knowing how to cast our anxiety is based on our ability to be praying and to accept and understand the power of prayer. And so if we don't do that, we're not fulfilling the prerequisites. You know, in college, you want to take this course. And they say, well, you can't take this course. Because you have to take this course, this course, this course, and this course first. Because until you understand and have passed these courses, you wouldn't be able to grapple with this. Well, I think that's essentially what God is saying here. Until you learn the basics of prayer, supplications, and thanksgivings, you will not be able to cast your anxieties on me. You just won't know how to do it. You won't be able to do it properly because you haven't gone through the steps to know how to do it. So God is just opening up to us the vista of what we need to do if we want peace. We have to learn how to pray. We have to learn how to trust God, that God is going to work out everything for our best, and no matter what happens, we count it all joy when we fall into manifold trials, because we know the outcome is going to be better. And again, that is a difficult, difficult step in this process. Some of us know how to do it, some of us don't. Some of us know there's always an inner joy, an inner happiness, no matter what we're going through, because we know that ultimately it's going to work out for our good, because God doesn't do anything to us that's not going to work out for our good. The third condition is to let your requests be made known to God. Every anxiety has a request. Your child is unfaithful. Father, please let them live long enough, bring about events in their life, and then we trust God. He's going to do the best he can. But we also know that God can't break their free will. And just like he won't break my free will, or allow Satan to break my free will, or allow anyone else to break my free will, and I'm glad for that because I want to stay with my Lord forever. But this other person over here, he doesn't, and God says, that's your choice. And I'll do everything I can. I'll bring tribulations, I'll bring trials, I'll bring the word. I will do everything I can, positively and negatively, to bring you to me. But ultimately, the choice is in the heart of that child that we want to be saved, or in the heart of a loved one that we want to be saved. But there's a request, and we make that request. Father, please let them live long enough. Please don't let this happen. You know, these teenage kids that go off into these terrible things that they sometimes do. And you just beg God, Father, if it's possible, if you can see into the future and you can see, would you please make sure that he doesn't die and he doesn't do anything that can't be fixed? Please bless him with that. And then I can't worry about it anymore. I've done all I can do. And so every anxiety comes down to a request. If it's a health problem, we have a request. If it's a financial problem, there's a request. And so every anxiety comes down to a request. The request is based on the need. So, once again, we have conditions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now, this is the verse that has sent me down the path of understanding that God will work out everything to the best possible way he can with every human being. I trust him in that. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. There's so many things that happen in this life that seem to contradict that. But I know they don't. And so I look for ways to try to work this out. And that's why I say my thinking right now, and maybe it won't be that way all the time, and maybe you think it's a little odd, but my thinking is that if God can't help this person, that's when they're going to die. But if God can see in the future that he can help them, that's when we're going to see this amazing recovery, because God knows they can help them. Now, if I find out on the judgment day, like Abraham did, that no, God's not going to raise Isaac from the dead, we're going to find another way. But it helps me to trust in the Lord with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding and allow him to direct our paths. And that's, again, how we get to perfect peace. And so the promise, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. What a promise. What an amazing and wonderful promise. The word guard here is the same kind of a guard that we might hire to walk back and forth in front of our house at night to make sure nobody breaks in. It's a guard. It's a protection. It will guard your hearts and minds. So the passage infers God's intervention. If it passes all understanding, it's not natural. If it passes all understanding, then it's coming as a result of our meeting God's conditions and not as a result of natural events. And so if we don't have that promise, if it's not guarding our hearts, we need to go back to conditions. It's not God. It's never God. It's never God who isn't doing what he promised. It's always us missing a condition, missing something that he's asked us to do or needs to be done in order for this to work. And so what do? We ask for wisdom. So we study the verses, we understand the conditions, then we ask for wisdom to fulfill them. So, as we think about these things, what are we going to do with this? Now, most of you here, you already know these things. Maybe you've never put all the scriptures together the way I did this evening, but you have the piece and you understand how it works. But if not, if you're tossed to and fro and you are just in agony and you can't let go, then these verses are your answer. And you need to find someone who can teach you if you need that, or you need to ask God for the wisdom to be able to do it. Because it can be done. We see Jesus, who had more anxieties than any of us could even comprehend. And God got him through it. The peace of God guarded his heart. We see Paul with anxieties and troubles beyond anything that you and I can comprehend. And yet, God was able to help him. So, I'm going to skip this one. And this one. This is the one I want right here. Prince of Peace, control my will. Bid the struggling heart be still. Bid my fears and doubting cease. Hush my spirit into peace. May thy will, not mine, be done. May thy will and mine be one. Chase these doubtings from my heart. Now thy perfect peace impart. And to all of this we can now add, I'm standing on the promises of God. God has promised you will keep him in perfect peace. Cast your anxieties on me. I care for you. Let the peace of God arbitrate and officiate in your heart between the strong emotions you're feeling. Let the peace of God, which passes understanding, guard your heart. We're standing on the promises of God. He will do this if we will fulfill the conditions. And so as we pick up our songbooks now, as I said a moment ago, if you can't do this, it is a direct indication of a lack of faith. There's something wrong. When you can't trust God, that God is going to take care of everything in your life, there's a problem. And we need to fix it. We need to learn how to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. We need to know that God works all things for good for us. And so, if you're here this evening as a sinner, none of these things apply to you because God is not able to work with you. He can't even hear your prayers. So we have to take care of those sins that we've committed that haven't been taken care of. And by taken care of, I mean, you can't just tell God you're sorry if you brought shame on the church or if you did something to someone else. You've got to take care of that. And so if you're here this evening as a Christian and you've done something that you just can't quite get out of your mind because you're afraid you haven't fully taken care of it, fully take care of it tonight so you can leave it behind. If you're as an individual who has not yet obeyed the gospel, we would invite you to come. And so as we sing this song, let's carefully consider what we've learned and see if there's anything we need to do, any changes we need to make while we together stand and sing.